Generous tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans would be delivered in a sweeping overhaul of the tax laws under a new agreement crafted by Republicans in Congress. Middle and low-income families would receive smaller tax cuts, though President Donald Trump and Republican leaders have billed the package as a huge benefit for the middle class. The agreement reached Wednesday combines key elements of separate tax bills recently passed by the House and Senate, striking compromises on some of them. Republicans are pushing to deliver the final legislation to President Trump before Christmas. Illinois' senior Democratic Senator Dick Durbin doesn't like what he sees. GLT's Ryan Denham spoke with Durbin by phone from Washington this morning.
On Wednesday, there was news that House and Senate negotiators had reached an agreement on a final version of the bill, even if the details of that agreement are not really known yet. What do you know about how this final bill looks?
Well, I can tell you that the details of the bill have not been disclosed to members of Congress. We are leaving for the week. We'll be returning next week, and on Monday or Tuesday, asked to vote on it. I will tell you, based on my experience, I can guarantee you that finally, a week or two from now, someone's going to read the detailed language and say, whoops, we made some mistakes. And when you think about the tax code that affects the economy of our country, every business, every family, every individual, we should take the time to get it right as best we can. Unfortunately, that's not the approach that's been used here. It's been done on an expedited, fast basis, and I'm afraid that at least the way we're doing it raises serious questions about the value of the product.
At this point, is there anything that Democrats like you can do if they have concerns to shape this thing, or is it pretty much in Republican leadership hands?
No, this is strictly a partisan measure, and they use a process used around here rarely, but it's become kind of common, called reconciliation. And what it basically means is the Republicans don't need to work with anybody. They just force it through. If they can get their ranks to support it, they don't need Democratic votes. There are four Republican senators, as we speak at this moment, who are still uncertain about what they'll do. If any three of them vote against it, then the whole process stops. But there are no Democrats in the Senate who have supported this measure. And the reason's obvious. Any proposal for tax changes that gives massive tax giveaways to the wealthy, and I might add the conference committee, cut taxes on the wealthiest Americans even more, tax breaks to big corporations, adds $1.4 trillion to our national debt for our kids to pay back, and fundamentally challenges the future of Medicare and Medicaid, that kind of approach is not going to get bipartisan support from Democrats.
You've had some serious concerns about the House and Senate versions as they've moved through to passage. So other than process, what are your top concerns as of how it looks today?
I'm for tax reform. I'm for tax cuts. But here's how it should have been done. We should have taken a look at some of the provisions of the tax code now that are just giveaways, something called carried interest, which gives some of the wealthiest people in this country reduced tax rates when they frankly haven't done anything to earn them. That most people, even candidate Trump, came out against carried interest. That could have been eliminated, and the savings from that could have been used to reduce the tax burden of middle-income families. That's where I would have gone. Make this progressive. Do you know how many wealthy Americans from Illinois have knocked on my door and said we desperately need a tax cut? None. Not one. And yet that is the highest priority in this bill. I think it's a mistake. And I think our kids and grandkids may look back and say, how did this deficit get worse in 2017? Didn't they know they were leaving us with the responsibility of paying for tax cuts for wealthy people?
What's the latest with the individual mandate from the Affordable Care Act? One version of the bill had it removed, the other didn't. Will that make it through? And if it does, what do you think that'll mean for impact on American health care?
I know what impact it'll have. It means 13 million Americans will lose their health insurance, including a lot in Illinois, and that the cost of health insurance premiums is going to go up 10 to 20% because of that provision. Here's what it says. Everybody in this country has an obligation to buy health insurance. If you decide not to, you pay a penalty. If they buy health insurance, it turns out many people, particularly in lower income categories, get a pretty healthy, strong subsidy for their health insurance premium. So we tried to give a reward or an incentive for lower-income folks to buy health insurance and say to those who are just adamant they're not going to buy it, there's a price to pay. Why do we do this? Because because we know when you look at the insurance pool, the people who are signing up for insurance, there'll be a lot of older and sicker people who desperately need insurance and will sign up quickly. The younger invincibles are the ones who don't sign up. When you have a pool with largely older and sicker people in it, the premiums are going to be expensive. When you bring in balancing in that pool by having younger, healthier people, it starts to bring the premiums down. So the Republicans have said in the Senate, we're going to get rid of the mandate, and as a consequence, we know it'll happen. In premiums, health insurance premiums for Illinoisans and many Americans are going to go up 10 to 20%.
That's Dick Durbin, the senior Democratic senator from Illinois, talking about the Republican tax plan. I'm Ryan Denham.
Central Illinois Republican Congressman Rodney Davis and Darren LaHood supported the House version of the bill when it passed last month. Davis has raised concerns about a provision that would treat graduate student tuition waivers as taxable income. Multiple media outlets are reporting that provision will not make it into the final version.